It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Home prices rise, but can they boost the job market?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. New numbers out today show home prices up. The S&P Case-Shiller Index shows a yearly gain of 8.1%, the best yearly increase since 2006. To put that report in context, we go to Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Mark.
So we see housing continuing to gain strength. When will we see, though, housing start to have an impact on job creation?
Well, probably the key thing is rising prices creates more confidence here. What everybody's still a little skeptical of, though, is where is this real demand? Is it investors or are they traditional buyers? So if you have the traditional buyers, those are the ones that will create new jobs. The key thing you're going to be looking at, though, is the shadow inventory. Right now, that's dropped from about 3 million right at the real depth of the depression here down to 2.2 million. So the banks appear to be dealing with homeowners right now. There's certain pockets, though, across the United States where it's still struggling. Florida, California, New York, Illinois, New Jersey. That's about 44% of the total shadow inventory. That's where you've got to make significant inroads in getting rid of that inventory before you see a meaningful pickup in new home sales, which will generate the jobs.
And quickly, Julie, on the durable goods numbers that came out today, the kind of a mixed bag in some ways, but what's your, kind of your quick take on those numbers?
Well, while it was a little bit lower than was expected, the key area that was moving on ahead was in the transportation area. We don't put a whole lot of stock in month-to-month numbers because it's a very volatile trend, so we're going to have to look at the longer-term trend here. But the core rate is still moving on ahead, and that's a slight positive, but it's still too early to call us completely out of the woods. But the direction is right.
Okay, Julie Neiman with Smith Moore & Company. Thanks very much.
You bet.
Arguments begin today in the Supreme Court on gay marriage. Recently, more high-profile Republicans have come out in support of gay marriage. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports on a new effort to get campaign money to elected Republicans who favor gay marriage.
Robert Postick is a professor of political science at the University of Findlay, and he's an evangelical Christian. He thinks the shift in public opinion on same-sex marriage is not the result of profound reflection, but simply that more people know someone who is gay.
And they're realizing, wait a second, these people who are gay or lesbian they're just like me. Why have I been against that all along?
One recent poll suggested that two-thirds of Americans, whether they support or oppose gay marriage, see it as inevitable. Fred Sains is the vice president of the pro-gay marriage organization Human Rights Campaign.
Even the most ardent opponent of marriage equality kind of looks at their pocketbook and wonders, well, why should I contribute to something, even if I'm opposed, that is going to happen?
Republican hedge fund manager Paul Singer has spent millions in support of gay marriage. His own PAC, the American Unity PAC, is prepared to donate even more to Republicans who are willing to support it. In the four states that voted on marriage equality in November, supporters raised $30 million. Opponents raised $10 million. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
What does your safety net look like? We're talking about what caught you when you've stumbled or helped you feel financially secure enough to take a leap. We're launching a series called Show Me Your Safety Net. Today we meet a woman and hers from the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark reports.
This is not the first time Mercedes Gallup has exposed a safety net. She still remembers the stares she'd get in the grocery store lines 20 years ago when she'd pull out her food stamps.
Back then, it was like you held up the line when you were using food stamps because they had to check everything and they were paper. It was like a little book of Disneyland cards.
Sometimes, Gallup says, she'd feel judged.
But, you know, I just had to feed my kid. So you can hold up the line all day.
Gallup used food stamps for about 3 years.
I was a single mom. I was in nursing school and had a job, and it just was not enough to cover food.
But it wasn't just food those food stamps helped with. Gallup thinks that safety net allowed her to take risks she wouldn't otherwise have taken, and they've paid off. Now she's a public health nurse at a state college in Southern California with a good salary and benefits. Those provided her another kind of safety net when she had breast cancer a few years ago. Gallup has recovered, and these days she has the time and the money to take new risks.
Meche, the last one's a little long.
Yeah. You see, Mercedes Gallup, whose nickname is Meche, is using yet a third kind of safety net now, a literal one, because she has also become
a trapeze artist.
Her patients call her
the flying nurse.
I watched her one recent morning flying through the air. Sometimes she'd do double somersaults. Sometimes she'd miss and fall.
Oh, she landed hard on the net.
But she was okay. The net caught her. After she climbed out, she happened to mention that even though her old food stamps have long expired,
I still have them in my envelope of all those important papers.
Gallup says whether literal or metaphoric,
definitely I have a healthy respect for the net.
There. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
This afternoon on Marketplace, Chrissy gets a crash course in safety nets, figurative and actual, when she takes flight on the trapeze. And we want to know, what does your safety net look like? Let us know at marketplace.org. And finally, arguments today in the Supreme Court over gay marriage. The case is historic, so tickets to be in the courtroom were coveted. People camped out for days in lousy weather to get some of the limited tickets, but some of the courtroom didn't wait at all. Many standing in line were paid to be there by people seeking seats. Some line standers earned thousands to bundle up and hold a place for those able to pay. Line standing is actually big business in D.C. There are several companies that hire people to wait outside congressional hearings. Their clients? Mostly lobbyists who want seats close to power but don't want to stand around waiting for them. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.